Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready to find out what's going on with the Padres?
They love it. They love it. And what's not
to
love?
Let's go right to the source. It's the Padres Management Report on Friar Friday. Right here on your home of the Padres.
Colonel, we got to throw a star.
97.3 The Fan.
We're joined by manager Andy Green. Andy, thanks so much for joining me. And you can't believe it, but I've been here for 4 hours talking about Ian Kinsler, not only about his home run, but what went on after that. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be on with you this morning, Coach. Good to be on after the win. And I feel bad for you kicking Peter off the air right there. It sounded like you guys were having a good conversation. I just got on the tail end of it. But I'm sure you'll get back to him at some point in time.
Well, you know, Andy, last night, you know, I was at home watching the game because I got to get up at 3 a.m. to get down here. And you guys get a win, a much-needed win after a tough road trip. And, you know, I'm watching the Twitter, you know, what people are saying, and they're going crazy. And, you know, I didn't really make much of it when I'm watching it on TV. And then I'm driving to work this morning. CBS is talking about, you know, Ian, the F-bomb and the crowd and how it was taken and perceived. And then I come in, it's on ESPN this morning. I'm going, man, this is crazy. And, you know, the first thing that I would say, everybody I talked to in your front office when they signed Ian was, hey, this guy brings an edge. And I like that because a lot of times here in San Diego, guys are very bland and everybody's been kind of the same. And you got a guy that's been a great veteran like an Ian Kinsler. And with what happened last night, you know, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, have you had the opportunity to talk to him about that?
Yeah, we spoke late last night. Obviously, the game kept going, and you're not sure what's going on during the game. There's obviously a lot of noise, and when you have the opportunity to sit down and watch it, like, that's not the appearance we want as an organization, not the message we want to convey, no matter if it's intended internally. It's just not a good message for us, and you know, we've had conversations with Ian. I think we've all had the opportunity to reflect overnight, and he is an emotional baseball player. He's a passionate baseball player. He's been a winning baseball player his entire life. But, you know, for us as an organization, clearly not the message we want to convey, no matter who it's intended to. And I think we'll go forward and, you know, move on and accept responsibility for what's happened and just move forward as a team.
As a major league manager, I know how high school coaches would probably handle that situation. College coaches would probably handle it similar to a high school coach where they may, you know, sit them down for a game or two. As a major league manager, how do you handle that?
Yeah, we talked last night. We'll continue that dialogue through the day today as everybody's had the opportunity to sleep and reflect a little bit. And, you know, that'll be part of the equation. The other part of the equation we'll keep internal to ourselves. We don't really have any desire to go out and talk publicly about how we handle every situation. I mean, it's the time I've been here. There's a lot of different disciplinary action that's taken place. And, you know, for me as a manager, I've been disciplined a few times by Major League Baseball for ejections. And, I'm actually grateful Major League Baseball doesn't tell the world how much money they take from me because they people be aware they're robbing my kids' college funds right now. But, you know, it's part of baseball. You know, we have to accept our responsibility in this, and we do. And definitely not the message we want conveyed publicly.
You know, I thought the only mistake he made last night, and maybe this is me because I've been in a lot of dugouts at a lot of different levels over the years, the only mistake he made was he was facing the fans when he said it.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, he talks about it was directed internally at the guys to fire up the guys. Like, he's a passionate guy.
Right.
But the appearance was obviously there. And that appearance we hold responsibility for. He holds responsibility for. And that's not the appearance. It's good for us, good for him, good for anybody. Like, we as an organization, like, blown away by the support of our fans through this rebuild. The way they've been there with us every step of the way, the way Petco Park attendance still stays up because it's such a great environment. The way everyone, like, pulls for us to do something special. I think deep within every desire, within every player on the team is a desire to see this club, you know, bring a championship to the city. And there's a bunch of guys in there that you know, over the course of the day, you know, that passion spills out, and sometimes it spills out incorrectly.
Andy Green joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline, part of our Friar Fridays. Last night, Kinsler got the big home run, which was huge, but I want you to talk a little bit about Franmil Reyes, not only his home run, but why you've really settled in with him in the number two spot.
Yeah, Franmil is... he's been one of our absolute best hitters. You know, he's been a guy that, as he's been here in the past, has walked, has gotten on base, was on base at a 340 clip last year. Since he's been a big leaguer, he's shown the capacity to make adjustments, to hit pitches hard, to, you know, drive balls around the park. And he's one of those guys that, since we moved him to that two hole and moved Haas back to the four, I think we went into the season expecting it to be flipped. And, you know, Haas kind of thrives in that four and five role, in the lineup, and he's been incredibly good throughout his career, not just getting on base, but driving and runs. So settled in Franmil in front of Manning. And, you know, Franmil's gotten on base a respectable clip. It hasn't been through the walk, but he's been hitting balls really hard. And if you ask opposing teams who they want to face one extra time, it's not Franmil Reyes. They don't want to see that guy coming up in the eighth and the ninth inning if we're down a run or tied. You know, to get those guys up at the spot when you really want to score some runs, like, Franmil's done a really nice job in that spot.
Hey, Andy, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Will Myers. I mean, you're still moving him around a little bit. He played center one night. He might play left field. What are you seeing from him at the plate right now? To me, it looks like at times he tries to get a little too pull happy. He's opening up, and when he's really at his best, he's going the other way into right center field.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. When Will uses the whole field, he's uniquely gifted to do things that other people aren't. And I think you get in phases throughout the season where it just doesn't feel right. Most swing and misses. I think just watching Cody Bellinger the other day, we're in L.A., he's having probably the greatest year of his career at this point in time. He takes a swing. He's looking in our dugout. His whole body's squared up to us. When he misses, when he squares the ball up and it goes to left center, looks like he's staying on the ball and driving ball, but his energy pulls him that way when he's taking a bad swing. And Will's just, you know, he's fighting. He's grinding. He's at that point in time in the season where it's not coming easy for him, but he'll snap out of this. He's done it before. And when he gets hot, he can become a carrying piece for a team and a guy that we lean on heavily when that's happening.
Hey, give me your synopsis on this. When you evaluate your team right now, you're a couple games over 500. You win a game. You got six more home games before you go back out on the road. That's going to be a tough road trip for the fans out there. It's not going to be easy going to New York and Toronto. When you assess your ball club right now, what are maybe an area or two where you feel like you got to really tighten up a little bit?
Yeah, getting on base. You know, for us as a group, if we do that consistently, we're going to be a winning baseball club. I think we feel good about, you know, the way our starting rotations performed, considering how young they are. I think those guys have shown very well to start this young season. And, like, there's going to be some learning curves along the way. It's the youngest rotation in baseball, but we like those guys. We like them a lot. And when we look out on the, you know, the bullpen, like, hit a little rough patch there for a little bit, but it's bouncing back right now. And looking forward to getting Trey Wingener back, hopefully here in short order, and that'll be a big boost for the pen. And, you know, for us, it just comes down, if we get on base, we're going to do enough things to win baseball games. And I think the strength of the club up to this point in time has been its resiliency. Even days we're not playing the cleanest baseball in the world, we've been a resilient club and bounced back and had passion and had emotion. And frankly, played some exciting baseball up to this point in time. Almost every game we've played this season has been a dogfight. We've been in every last one of them down to the ninth inning, except maybe one or two all season. It's been a huge change from last year from an atmosphere perspective, and a lot of that credit goes to ownership for the investment they made in Manny and AJ's willingness to bring Chris Paddock and Fernando Tatis. Nick Margavish is here to start the year. I think there's a lot of really good things going on right now, and we're excited about him. We're going to keep fighting.
You know what's fun for me, Andy, and again, you know, growing up as a kid here in San Diego and being at the very first game back in April of 1969 when the Padres won their first game ever against the Houston Astros, and to, you know, be a part of a radio station that's carried the Padres for a number of years and doing pre and post. You know, yesterday we had a topic on after the loss up in L.A., and it was talking about patience compared to expectation. And the one thing that I've been, you know, praising the organization for, and you and AJ and the ownership, you guys have shown extreme patience, and that's hard to do, especially for the manager when you're given a lineup and a roster where you really are outmanned night after night after night, and those losses really start to wear on you. Hard to sleep, and you take them home, and I don't care what anybody says, it's hard not to take those home because you feel personal about it. But then we also started to talk about expectations, and what's great is you have expectations, AJ, the ownership, but the fans now once again have expectations of too, and they're buying in, night out. They're hanging on every pitch of every Padre game right now.
Yeah, it's shifting, and that's fun. It's shifting, I think you said it really well, from patience to expectation, and we've all been hungry for that, and the group within that clubhouse, the guys, they collectively expect to win every night. Even when we come up on the short side of things, like, they believe they have everything necessary to win every game. We feel that way. And there's days you go out there that you don't play your cleanest baseball. Resiliency. I think I've heard it said repetitively in baseball. If you win 60, you lose 60. It's what you do with the other 42 games that ultimately determines your season. And love the resilience and the fight the group's shown. And it's getting fun. It's definitely getting fun.
Well, hey, good luck tonight. Good luck this weekend. And finish off this homestand on a high note, because I know you got a tough road trip starting out next week.
All right. Appreciate talking to you.
Always a pleasure, Andy. Thanks so much for your time.
Sure thing.
There's manager Andy Green joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. And reminder, SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at SDCCU.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.